I'm going to just very brief introduce about the one of project which is recently funded by the USDA Special Crop about black Gucci berry. So many of you, because even for myself, black Gucci berry are just like become very popular in Asian countries in the past 10 years, maybe 15 years. So the price for the fruits, black fruits, sometimes really high because it's not really stable market right now. So it can go up to $250 per pound for dry fruit, and then can go down about like $20 per pound. So that's about like a little bit about Gucci berry, black Gucci berry. Okay, I'm just first I just introduce why we are considering this and then how it perform in Minnesota in the U.S. And then it's kind of what we're going to do in the future. It's about this. So as if you we know in the U.S. and then some the Mississippi River is our mother river, so it goes through. So we have two main branches. One is Missouri River and Mississippi River. Mississippi River beginning at Minnesota, so state of 10,000 lakes, which means a lot of water bodies in the state. And then, and this is the one way you think about this. Another way, see, if you look at it, pretty much the water body everywhere, the river, lakes, all over the state. And then Minnesota is also one of top five for agriculture producers in the state. So top 10 agriculture producer states, Minnesota around top five. So, which means a lot of land for agriculture, farming land. And then it just like this, okay? So you manage like this, and basically if you have a farm, you have all the water around, and you have to grow the plants in there, pretty much the north edge gets all over the place. And we know there's gonna be a big problem for using the herbicide, fertilizers, and pesticides. And then many of these will run basically into the water. And if we were in Minnesota, we said we get consumed less because they couldn't run to the other states. You get more and more of this stuff. So, and then back on this, in 2015, Minnesota legislature passed the new law about agriculture buffer strips, or what we call buffer zone. And that's a big because they ask the farmers to keep their farm field 50 feet away, this kind of buffer zone, any public water. And for some area, if it's 16.5 feet, but even that, for many of the farmers, so that's what you can see here, that's the map about these places you need to keep your farm with the 50 foot that strip. You cannot grow any of the corn, soybean, and all that. So you have to keep it like this buffer zone. And then many of the farmers, especially for small farms, and they were basically losing sometimes even more than half of their farmland. And then that's why it's just strong against it. So what are we going to do about this? And we're looking at the possibilities for any other things that you can prevent kind of like a chemical pollution and also provide some benefit, kind of a crop they still can harvest and make money from. And then we look at many of the plant species, and a number of plant species come on the list, and then black Gucci berry become one of those. So that's where we start to see whether or not this one can do something, can perform in Minnesota in the different places. So if you see here, the Minnesota, they're trying to keep the water clear for the whole country, lower part. So that's what we're trying to say. You see the buffer zone and what we're going to do. So we're looking for the different species and that's come up, black cultivar. So why black cultivar? This is just showing all different cultivars. Cultivar has been used for medicine and for very, very long history, thousand years in Asian countries. Many for the kind of for the vision, so clear vision, for many for the what we call blood security, because they have like a high concentrated carotene. So that's most for the red cultivars. And in the same genus, there's another like orange, yellow, and black, all different kind of. And this picture I just got from Dr. John, they have shown all different variety of this all species of cultivar. Most of cultivar, they have different shape. Sometimes it's like the oval shape, and football shape type of thing. And the black cultivar is a round shape. And this is Dr. Liu's mutation for the black cultivar. I just still this best his image here, because that's the orange one is a mutation from his growing your backyard, right? Yeah. So this it just shown all different projects. But why we chose black ones instead of the red cultivar for growing in the States? And then one thing is because for buffer zone, we want to have the important thing is just to prevent the soil erosion and form a kind of a barrier area for the chemical kind of run into the water, so it runs into the water. So those are what we can see. This is the black cultivar, and this is the red. So you can see here, there are two reasons we're looking at. One reason is both of the berries, cultivar plants, will be able to prevent the soil basically erosion and form a buffer zone for them. But the red cultivar, apparently it's the form establishes that buffer part is slower, and also once they form, it's grew very few fruits because of the summer of Minnesota. It's a very long day, and then the fruits, they produce fruits less for less year. So that's the one reason. Another reason is the price. So to prevent soil erosion, and for black cultivar, they have a lot of flowers, and actually this really pollinator friendly. So you get a lot of bees, different kind of bees, insects that pollinate this. And then we have seen this in the field, a lot of bees there. And are resistant to wild animal damages. So once established, because of this, the structure has formed a stone structure, and then some small animals, even though it's so tasty, but it cannot really consume it because the stones and branches. Plus, it's a cash crop. This is just, I put this here yesterday, it's just to show that the current eBay market for 100 gram is $12.99 for the dry fruit. It's about $300 per kilogram. So it's still pretty high for the berries. And if you have just make cuttings, you just don't do anything. Just cut a few branches and send out. You can about $10 for the cuttings. And if you have a little plant, that's $20. So this guy, you see here, the $20, the plant, he sold 208 plants already, the last one left. And for the dry berries, for like he sold also 90 packs. So this just to give you an idea. And once you have this, that's you can make money from. Okay. Why do people buy it? Because for us, we're looking at the prevent soil erosion and the pollinator friendly and resistant to the animal damage, because you see here, very clear, so the rabbit will not be able to name it because of this. And then it's a lot of flowers and on this. And this is the one and it's on campus here, so you can see here, it's established just like a kind of the fence type thing. It's really established and then sitting there. So then look at the beneficial for the human. So if you eat this, because it's very highly concentrated antioxidants, also called antioxidant. And then if you look at that, about like 30 milligram per gram, that's antioxidant in there. And then everyone knows the color came from, if you put these dried fruits into the soda, one color, into yogurt or some others, another color, because they're going to give a different color because of pH different. So that's it. And then even if you only sell the fruits, just the dried fruits in China, they can get a high price. But for us, we just recently realized this is a wonderful plant for the microgreens, because it's kind of like a second. The tasty, it's really crunch, the smaller plants we put in the salad, really tasty. So that's what I said, super sweet, and you put any salad dressing there, it's really good. So I said, if you have this fruit, you just drink the tea, don't use the really like 100 degree hot water, just maybe 50 degree water. After you drink it, and get the seed, put in there, microgreen come. So you can just use a salad, it's very nutrient well. So this is the way you can see what we can get the future. So for this, the possibility, if you could get and collect and put, there's a lot of seeds in one fruit, about like 50 seeds in one fruit. You can see how much you can do the microgreens. So that's all we can see. What's easy to propagate? Very simple. If you get one fruit, you get a lot of plants. And this is a propagation, and also it's our breeding program. We select for the new variety we're doing it in the greenhouse. You can see here how it looks like. Very simple. And then it's easy to grow. After 3 or 4 months, it grew and started flowering, produce seed, fruit. So that's why you can see that just once this first year, you can start to have the fruits, again, to collect the fruit. This is just grow. Compared to the grow in the greenhouse, and we have a lot of growing all set in the field. So in the past a couple of years, we have done some trials on different locations. So right now we still continue working on that, because we have a project. We want to test a different location. We propose to test 340 plants on different locations. And that's what you see here. Current location we have in the 5 counties or different locations we grow the plants there, and includes the farm that Randy is here in his farm in Rice County, Minnesota. So we have all different tests. Many for us tested how well they perform to grow in Minnesota and whether or not it can survive the winter, because we have a very brutal winter, like in the past winter, but can go up. Down to -40 degrees. So that's what we test. So on a different test, it's really hardy. So you can go through the winter and then without animal damage, because the kind of thorns there and the plants there. So this is just shown in the apple. In this apple, they're still covered with snow and ice, the plant there. And then, but the you need to make sure transplant the plants, give some time for the plant to recover. So we have compared, we transplant the plant to the field in spring or summer, but that can survive Minnesota weather, but 100% plants survive. But if we did put in Randy's farm at later, almost early November, after frost, we say, okay, we're going to put here. We put 20-some plants there. About 30% of the plant there survived, still. So if you just throw the plant there, and then you're going to survive. But another thing, the seeds were not going through. So if, that's why, so we're concerned, one concern is whether or not it can become invasive species, but not, because the, if you use an invasive species, you can get seeds through all the place and germinate yourself in the field. So those are what we look at. So, and then for the future, where right now we're doing the breeding, we're trying to see whether or not we can get the bigger fruits and higher concentrated, even higher concentrated anthoxanthin, and also some more. So this just first one is shown that we have the new varieties. We have a very long and lateral leaves. If you're working on some microgreen, and that's perfect because it gets kind of like all the greens. And so this leaves much more longer than the original wire species. And also we have some larger fruit ones. The fruit kind of about like 4 or 5 times bigger than compared to the original one we have. And then we have like a few hundred plants we're working on, trying to select for the new varieties for the state to grow. Yeah. So that's two guys who working in this project. Ren, it's Murphy is a scientist, a junior scientist, David is a student working in the orchard medicinal plants. So this is just one species we're doing trials, and another species includes species Dr. Liu discussed, Conopsis, grew so very in Minnesota. So don't worry about those things. They grew very in Minnesota also. So it's for the permanent juice. So this project has been supported by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture and also Minnesota Agriculture Experimental Station and under USDA's Special Crop Project. And thank you. Any questions? Yes?
Is the plant flower ever shaded off?
The plant flower is, it's, if not full shade. If they prefer full sun. So you can do it in the shade. So it basically, it's initially the origin of the plant native to this kind of a desert. Yeah. So salty and sandy desert places. So it's really wide area can grow this, especially for Minnesota, good soil and then just doing well. Yeah. Yes?
So two quick questions. Now there's really no sugar, residual sugar in the berries, right? It's very tart. But then the other question I have is, I guess, is there any possibility if this is going to become a invasive plant in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Now that you're planting.
That's what I just mentioned, because many, because this if you're an invasive species, you need to germinate right away in the field. We're testing this, but we try to see whether or not the seeds, if the seeds go through the winter, it still can come up as a wound at this moment. So we're going to do more trials because last winter was really harsh so for us. Yes?
Along that question, does it sucker out in multiple directions from a single plant? Because that's what we're experiencing with the Lycium pollen, the red goji berry in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And so it just spreads out, like it has the potential for invasiveness from asexuals.
Yeah, so it's a very good question about like, whether or not this plant in Minnesota can also do kind of spread out very quickly. So it spreads very slow, the one thing. But right now we are selecting for the different varieties. They just sitting there like a little bush. So that's we have like a couple of the lines. They're just sitting there. It's not dwarf. It's not going to spread very quick. Yeah.
So what's the advantage for the black goji compared to the regular one? Is it high yield or high value or producing things or something?
Okay. The question is about whether or not this the black goji berry compared to the red goji berry or the regular goji berry, what's kind of like a value, like a nutritional value. Mainly it's kind of antioxidant higher, and it's actually the carotene part is lower than the red goji berry ones, and that's all we can know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes?
Can you describe root systems, the depth of it, the width and how the root system spreads?
The root system is about, it can go deep, very deep root system. And the many spread, if you see the natural spread for this plant, is concerned its possibility whether or not it can become an invasive species. It rhizome, or it's kind of like it's actual stem, not the root. Most of it come back to stem, it can grow into a new plant. But so far what we did trials is shown is it's just sitting there. Some of them going quicker, but it's still just most of them you can see that. You see that spread out. It's not because of the plant get more branches. It's actually the plant get above the ground get more branches can spread out like this. It's like bush, it's a bush tab. It's not the stem run really far. Yeah, they do have this kind of, you can see some of the variety can show that it runs more and faster, and others are slower, and then it's kind of sitting in one place. Yes.
Yeah. Are the fruits attractive to birds?
Not really. That's what we see. It because the very high and often and it's kind of it's not sweet fruit. So so far, we don't see much birds pick up those fruit because it's. It's not sweet. It's, I don't know. Maybe bird also like something sweeter or something. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned that really used for the microgreens.
Microgreen, yes.
Yeah. Have you tested that?
Oh yes. It's so if I don't know if any of you have tried if you back in Asian country the eggplant. So eggplant salad, if you tried eggplant salad, it's just tastes like a micro eggplant. If you're Chinese, maybe you can switch langhe, binglan. It's kind of like the eggplants, it's really crispy, and then you put the salad dressing in there, it tastes really good. So that's kind of taste.
For the microgreen.
Microgreen?
Yeah. You test
it. Yeah, test like the second plant. It's kind of like because it's once you get microgreen just like this, and then there, if you say spect, because the young plants don't have it, so that they're because the animal don't try because the animal eats later plants and then another. So that's why when you put in the field, the early smaller plant, you need to protect it because it's so tasty. Rabbit and deer will eat all. But once you establish it, because the spec form it, and then the animals will just stay away from it. That's why you ask, you know, because of this, whether or not it's microgreen, because of this, the young plants don't have this spec on it. So the yes.
This might have genetic variation because this is open pollinated species.
Yes, it's can be surf and open pollinated. So if it's open, it can be doing surf and it can all cross pollinated. That's yes.
You mentioned like there are two ways to easy for proliferation using either cuttings or just seeds. So which one is preferred?
I prefer seeds because seeds is so easy. Tiny seeds put there and then grow very quick. And we tried pretty much also 100% of cuttings you can come back with all the plants. But seeds, if you have seeds, you don't want to do the cuttings because seeds will grow much better than the cutting. Yeah.
Will there be any variations about the seedlings in terms of the trade, yield,
oh, so for us, we have originally only a quest and one of this cultivar. So all the newer ones, it's under our breeding program. We basically we did clothes, we did chemical treatment, we make this kind of all changes. So many we have done some trying to see whether or not get polyploid, or change some, that's all treatment, so you generate different lines because of this. It's not because of original, we get a lot of different varieties come in. Yeah? Okay. Thank you again, really appreciate it. Yeah. So, more discussion, welcome here. We have a continued discussion. We hope we can put together, come up a different idea. Maybe we can get nationwide collaboration on this type of project, how we can make this project beneficial to the state, to the farmers, or to gardeners, and also the way we can do some research on in here in the state, because this that's what one thing we're concerned is, because back Dr. Liu just mentioned, in China the government just removed the regulation about functional foods or compared to conventional concerning to move, and then it's our chance. So we have a good quality of better more mature techniques for the farming part, make a good quality of product, and that's where we can share. Okay, thanks again.